The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing the center of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue our study this evening, Genesis 27, where we'll pick up with verses 34 through 38. All right, we've exercised our freedom of choice to assemble once again this evening for Bible studies, so we might as well make a count, and that is to make sure that indeed you're in fellowship, that you've isolated the sin nature, put it in its case, so to speak, so that God the Holy Spirit, who indwells each and every one of us, and who is filling ministry, can enlighten us to the truth of doctrine, undistorted by the sin nature. Your flesh is hostile to the truth. We're seeing a prime example in regards to letting the flesh rule rather than God the Holy Spirit in one's life, in the very example of the patriarch's family of Isaac here. And therefore, we don't want to fall into that trap if we can at all avoid it. And then first and foremost, it demands that we employ rebound as necessary in our life, and otherwise be predisposed to embrace the truth. We present it to you at face value. This is what's in the Bible. It's up to you to embrace it as such, believe it on that level, and not to rationalize it otherwise under your sin nature or other human viewpoint baggage you may bear with you. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your person, your perfect plan, your veracity, your immutability, that we can depend upon you no matter what the rest of the world or man may say or do otherwise. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to truth in the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to come inside, you're more than welcome before we start class. You're special. All right. Here in this scenario, again, we're seeing an otherwise positive, mature believer. In fact, one of the early patriarchs of the Jewish faith, in the line of Christ, Isaac himself and his wife Rebecca, and Posey's son Jacob, engage in certain STI activity that's almost mind-blowing considering the issues at hand, but understandable at some level. And the aspect of rationalizing, dismissing a doctrine in application, whatever level it came at, under whatever sophistication the STA brain computer thought up, Isaac simply starts to do the unthinkable, and that is to try to usurp, overrule the Word of God itself in regards to the oracle and prophecy concerning his twin sons Jacob and Esau, that the elder would serve the younger, and that Jacob was to be the covenant heir in this regard. So now Isaac seeks to try to bestow that blessing upon Esau in spite of the fact. And Rebecca jumps into and quickly formulates a scheme as she overhears what her husband Isaac's getting ready to do, and employs Jacob to camouflage him and otherwise provide the decoys necessary to fool her husband Jacob, Isaac, one of those guys, into thinking that Jacob was Esau, and actually bestow the blessing upon the right person to be the heir, albeit done in an unsavory, deceitful, and dishonest fashion by Rebekah and Jacob in this regard. And Isaac falls for the ploy. And the reason why he becomes victim in regards to this scheme is because he will not believe what he hears. His ears tell him one thing, but his human viewpoint baggage and relying on the energy of the flesh otherwise in touch and taste and smell tells him something else. It is contradictive, and it perfectly emulates Isaac's problem when it comes down to his sons. Obviously, whatever else went on in his life, we're not made privy to, only what's recorded in this regards. And his failure is that he would not embrace the oracle, the prophecy concerning his two sons. He was not willing to apply the doctrine of separation with respect to his negative son Esau otherwise in his life and embrace the promise there. And he rather relies upon his own arrogant ingenuousness in regards to what he thinks is right in this matter, whatever rationale it might be. And he falls for a ploy. He only hears what he wants to hear. He takes it and he checks it off in regards to his own little human viewpoint scheme. God's in this thing, etc. As we went through all this and dealt with it, he is essentially betrayed by his oldest son. He falls for the lie. Three lies to be exact in regards to Jacob in this respect. And there it is in regards to the principle that is exposed in regards to this whole scenario. You don't want to believe the truth and embrace the truth, and you fall for the lie. That's your alternative, see, in this regards. And Isaac then bestows the birthright blessing upon the proper son, the one who is ordained by God to be the covenant heir in verses 27 and through 29 in that regards. And no sooner had Jacob left Isaac's presence that Esau then returns from his hunting trip, which he is sent away with by his father to get the game, to prepare the meal that he so enjoyed. And Jacob barely gets out by the skin of his teeth in time in this respect. And he comes and presents his dish after he prepares it for his father, expecting the blessing to be bestowed upon him, just like his father promised him that he would in this regards. Here's the time a promise is broken. But rightfully so. Isaac will bite the bullet in regards to what consequences may lay before him in regards to his mishandling of his family affairs and covenantal responsibilities otherwise in this respect. And he informs Esau that his brother had deceived him and stolen, if you will, or taken, the word stolen is not used, but taken the blessing away from Esau. And it is important to understand that at this point in time, that this whole ordeal functions as a wake-up call for Isaac, and it has a positive benefit and effect upon Isaac because in spite of being tricked by Jacob, his son, his younger son, betraying him, acting as a Judas, if you will, in this respect, he essentially forgives him, and he immediately switches allegiance to Jacob, away from Esau, and informs Esau that the blessing is irrevocable, and this is the way it's supposed to be. He recognized God's hand in here jamming him big time in this endeavor, his human viewpoint, STA endeavor that he was engaged in, and immediately God, if you will, as the language states, shakes him to spiritual enlightenment in regards to his gross error that he had been pursuing for quite a number of years of his life with respect to his sons in this respect. So now in verses 34 through 38, getting us up to speed here, we now have Esau's response, a reaction to this. I title it Esau's Pathetic Tantrum, Wanting the Blessing. And I'm being polite. I'm being easy on him. So verse 34, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, and me also, O my father." You have a preposition cough, after or when. Looks like that in Hebrew, the backwards C, with the dog's forte, the dot in the middle. heard is your Cal infinitive construct, Shema, S-H-A-M-A. Esau, transliterated. Then he had assigned a direct object to tell us what he heard. The words of his father. Words is the common masculine plural noun construct, Davar, E-A-B-A-R. Followed with our noun for father, having the third masculine singular suffix here, common masculine singular construct, Av, A-V. Then he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry. You have the wow consecutive. Then our verb to cry out, cow, imperfect third masculine singular, tasa'ak, T-A-T-S-A-A-Q. Then followed with the cognate noun, common feminine singular absolute, for outcry, to cry out, tasa'aka, T-S-E-A-Q-A-H, tasa'ak, tasa'ak, tasa'aka. He cried out with an outcry, literally. This one being great and bitter. you had the adjective feminine singular absolute, our word for great, gadol, G-A-D-O-L. Wow conjunction. Then our adjective for bitter, feminine singular, to agree in gender with the nouns, which they must do, the adjective, mar, M-A-R. And then you have one final word in the Hebrew here, preposition, or two words, preposition ad, ad, A-D, followed with the adverb meod, M-E-O-D, up to, as far as, exceedingly. He cried out with an outcry, great and bitter, until exceedingly goes overboard. Almost the same kind of picture that we saw, the trembling, the shaking that overtook Isaac when he recognized what had just happened, when Esau entered the room and he recognized Esau's voice and what had occurred beforehand. And he said, well, consecutive in our verb to say, cal and perfect third masculine singular, amar, A-M-A-R, that being Esau, bless me also, O my father. You have the preposition lamed, said to his father, lamed, to, followed with the common masculine singular to construct, third masculine singular suffix, word for father, ab, A-B. Bless me. Bless is the PLL imperative masculine singular, here with the first common singular suffix verb, barak, B-A-R-A-K, to his father, bless me. Conjunction gam, followed with the pronoun, G-A-N, followed with the pronoun, first common singular pronoun, ani, A-N-I-Y, even me would be the ascensive sense of the conjunction and pronoun here, father of, repeated, my father, with the first common singular suffix, A-B. Verse 35. Again, keeping up with who's talking here. And he said, your brother came deceitfully, this is now Isaac, and has taken away your blessing. And he said, while consecutive, our verb amar, again, same construct, third masculine singular, cal imperfect. He came, literally, your brother. To come or go is a cal perfect verb, third masculine singular, bo, B-O. Follow with our noun for brother, common masculine singular struct, second masculine singular suffix, ach, A-C-H. By deceit, preposition bet. Follow with our noun for deceit here, common feminine singular absolute, merama, M-I-R-E-M-A-H. Marima, Arama, and took your blessing. Wow, consecutive, our verb to take, cal and perfect third masculine singular, lakach, L-A-Q-A-C-H. Blessing here is the common feminine singular construct, the second masculine singular suffix, baraka. B-R-A-K-A-H. Verse 36. Now Esau starts talking again. Then he said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times." Then he said again, "Wow, Amar." Typical construction here. Is he not rightly named Jacob? First, you have the interrogative particle ha, H-A, followed with the conjunction ki, K-I-Y. Is surely, question mark. He called the verb kal, perfect third masculine singular, kara, Q-A-R-A. His name, translated simply named, common masculine singular, instructive third masculine singular suffix shem, S-H-E-M, transliterated Jacob. Then you have the wow consecutive, and then our verb translated he has supplanted is the cow and perfect third masculine singular with the first common singular suffix akov, A-Q-O-B, Yaakov, akov, Jacob. Yaakov being his name. So a pun is intended. He supplanted or took by the heel, literally. As he, when they were born, the twins were born, Jacob had a hold of his little brother's heel coming out of the womb. That's how quick they were born back to back. Slip, slide, in a way. Oh, anyway, I don't know why I thought of that song, but there you have it. That's for all those out there listening to the tapes. See what you miss when you're not face-to-face. Anyway, he supplanted or took by the heel. These two times you have the adjective masculine singular zeh, C-E-H, this. And then literally in the Hebrew you had a common feminine dual absolute, two steps, pa'am, P-A-A-M. Two times, hence. These two times. Obviously, the first being the trading of the birthright for the lentil soup. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. Not completely true, but we'll deal with it. Sign of the direct object. And then our noun for birthright, common feminine singular construct with the first common singular suffix, Bekora, B-E-K-O-R-A-H. He took, again, our verb lakach, cal perfect third masculine singular, L-A-Q-A-C-H. And behold, wow conjunction, followed with the interjectory particle henna, H-I-N-N-E-H. Now is the adverb atah, A-T-T-A-H. Behold, now he has taken, repeated, cal perfect third masculine singular. Blessing is again the noun feminine singular construct here with the first common singular suffix baraka, B-E-R-A-K-H. And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Wow, consecutive plus the verb amar. Then you had interjectory particle ha, P-H-A, followed with the negative lo, L-O. Then our word reserved here is the cal perfect second masculine singular verb atsal, A-T-S-A-L. It literally means to lay aside, hence have you not reserved, held back, if you will. For me, a blessing, literally. Preposition lamed with the first common singular suffix, then baraka, repeated common feminine singular absolute. Verse 37. But Isaac responded and said to Esau, "Behold, I have made him your master, and all his relatives I have given to him as servants." Wow, consecutive. And then our verb to respond or answered, as is translated, cal and perfect third masculine singular, anah. A-N-A-H, giving consideration to Esau's request, proper noun Isaac, and said, wow consecutive plus amar, to Esau, preposition lamed, followed with the noun Esau. Behold is your interjectory particle here, just simply hen, H-E-N. Behold or look, your master. You have the common masculine singular noun absolute, gabir, G-E-B-I-Y-R, literally means strong man, hence a master, one exercising authority or power over another, the ability to do so. I have made is literally I have appointed, hence he's been commissioned into this birthright blessing is the idea. That's the cow perfect first common singular verb shum, S-H-U-M. Him, made him, to, it's in the Hebrew, is to you. I have appointed to you and to all your relatives. I gave to him for servants. That's the Hebrew. So you have a preposition, lamed, with the second masculine singular suffix. I've appointed to you, vowel conjunction, sign of direct object, followed with the noun for all, common masculine singular construct, kol, K-O-L. Literally, your brothers, hence relatives, brothers used in that sense, ok, the noun, common masculine plural construct, with the third masculine singular suffix, kol is in the singular. Brothers and in the plural. I gave to him four servants. Our verb to give is a cow perfect first common singular, nafan, N-A-T-H-A-N. To him, lamed, with the third masculine singular suffix, preposition. And the preposition lamed repeated, definite article, and then our noun for servants, common masculine plural absolute, aved, E-B-E-D. And with grain and new wine, I have sustained him. Wow, conjunction. Then our noun for grain, common masculine singular absolute, dagan, D-A-G-A-N. Wow, conjunction. Then our noun for new wine, common masculine singular absolute, tirosh, T-I-Y-R-O-S-H. Tirosh. I have sustained him. You have the cow, perfect verb, first common singular, with the third masculine singular suffix, samad, S-A-M-A-D, literally means to lean upon, hence support here as, if you will, economical support. I have sustained, hence to sustain economically, that's the idea here. Now as for you, then what can I do, my son? Vowel conjunction, followed with the preposition lamed with the second masculine singular suffix, and for you. So then is the conjunction apho, A-P-H-O. What is the interrogative pronoun ma, M-A-H. Can I do is our cow imperfect first common singular verb asa, A-S-A-H. My son is your noun, Ben, B-E-N, common masculine singular, construct the first common singular suffix. Verse 38. And Esau said to his father, do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father. So Esau lifted his voice and wept. You have wow consecutive. With our verb amar, and he said, Esau being the subject of the verb, to his father, here's preposition el, denoting direction, obviously, appealing to his father, el, father, our noun, ab, A-B, with the third masculine singular suffix. Then you have the interrogative particle, ha, H-A, that's your question mark indicator. Blessing is your
common feminine singular absolute, Baraka. B-E-R-A-K-A-H. Now, why did you do that? Do you have only one blessing? Should have gone to school for computers and TVs. But instead I took Greek and Hebrew. Wow. Let's try this, see if this works. Yay. Thank you, Father. Anyway, I didn't even get out of fellowship over that one. Maybe I am growing a little bit. Do you have a blessing, literally? At least one is self. That's the idea. You have the adjective, feminine, singular, absolute. A K. E-C-H-A-E. One. Followed with the third person pronoun, masculine, singular, he. H-I-Y itself. As to you, my father, literally in the Hebrew. Do you not yourself have one blessing? Is the idea. As to you is the preposition lamed with the second masculine singular suffix. Father, again, our noun of here with the first common singular suffix. Bless me also, O my father. The PL imperative, masculine singular, our verb to bless, Barak here, intensive, B-A-R-A-K, quite a plea. Conjunction gone here in a sensitive sense, rather than also even, me, followed with the first person pronoun, I me, A-N-I-Y. Father, Ab, with the first common singular suffix. And he lifted up his voice and he wept. While consecutive, our verb to lift up is the Kalim perfect third masculine singular, Nasha, N-A-S-H-A. That being Esau, proper noun. His voice, noun for voice, common masculine singular, construct third masculine singular suffix, Kol, K-O-Q-O-L. And wept while consecutive, our verb to weep, Kalim perfect third masculine singular, Baka. B-A-K-A-H. All right. Rereading the verses here. Verse 34, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an outcry, with an exceedingly great and bitter cry, and said to his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. Verse 35, and he said, your brother, Isaac said, your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing. Verse 36, and Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me, grabbed my heel, these two times, these two steps. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he, Esau said, had you not reserved a blessing for me, laid aside a blessing for me. Verse 37, but Isaac responded and said to Esau, behold, I have made him your master, and all his relatives I have given to him as servants. And with grain and new wine I have sustained him. Now as for you then, what can I do, my son? Verse 38, and Esau said to his father, do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father. So Esau lifted his voice and wept. Analysis, verses 34 through 38. 1. Esau's immediate response to his father, having already given the blessing away, sets him off under STA anger that we might expect from a rough and tough outdoorsman, kind of person, the outdoorsman that you would picture, doesn't put up with guff, willing to take on the challenges, things of this nature, etc. and anger would be an expected response in that regards. So, too, the Hebrew construction here has the verb, he cried out, literally he screamed. In other words, his voice is the highest decibels he can bellow out to Tsaach, followed by the cognate with an outcry, cognate noun, to Tsaacha, followed by the superlative use of the adjective great, gadol. So, three, his voice was rejected at the highest decibels he could muster. Whatever air he had in his lungs was used to yell out at the top of his lungs, at the top of his voice, when he heard the news. So for now, his anger is reflected in the adjective bitter, or verb mar, followed then with the verb exceedingly, meod. So five, Esau's buoyancy shifts to extreme rage and distress. As we saw in the earlier verses, he comes tripping in lightly with his kill, goes in, whistling while he's working, if you will, to give you the picture. Obviously, I'm not saying he was, but to give you the picture, and fully expecting to go in and get the blessing, the birthright blessing from his father. And of course, immediately he is deflated as his dad does comes up. Well, who are you? And the deflation takes, and thou reflects extreme rage in regards to immediate knee-jerk anger in regards to the situation. So five, Esau's buoyancy shifts to extreme rage and distress. So this we might expect from a person of this caliber. As a known hunter and hellraiser in general. Six, now what is out of character for what might be expected from such a testosterone-driven male is a follow-up begging and ultimate weeping fit in verse 37. For daddy to, quote, bless me also, O my father. Barak gam ani av. That immediately should catch your attention. That's out of character. It shows the instability of one running under their STA in the face of a consequential situation such as we have here. So that at least caught my immediate attention. Well, he's crying like a baby. But yet he's this rough and tumble, testosterone driven person, likes his women wild and crazy. See? Out hunting all the time. Doesn't have time to take care of household things. Doesn't have time to take care, you know, of the spiritual matters, especially in life. Seeking constantly his father's approbation because dad's already leaned towards him and giving him the green light. Yeah, I like you for this, son. Living maybe vicariously, as I said, through his person. Maybe that's what he wished he could do. I don't know. But now, all of a sudden, we see a situation, and it truly shows the immaturity that's associated with negative volition that otherwise rejects doctrine in this regards. So, seven, this side of Esau's character exposes a pathetic, narcissistic attitude of entitlement. I didn't have to think too hard even for those words. It's like I'm entitled. And all he can think about is himself. There's no thought here truly for God's plan. As we go through this, all this carrying on by Esau wasn't because he was truly repentant and remorseful. It's because he lost the advantage of the inheritance in regards to his temporal wealth and those other aspects physically that are associated with it. And all he can think about is himself. See, obviously his very marriage, and allowing women of that ilk to carry on in the household, creating strife and conflict with his parents, paints the kind of picture this guy was. So no, I don't like to see anybody die and go to hell. But his negative volition definitely deserves it for the attitude he had in regards to those who otherwise were positive to Bible doctrine. So what we see here is someone who is self-centered, completely self-centered. It's all about me, like in the Matrix. Me. And all the person's duplications all come into effect, you know. And it's like he's owed this. Like he's really been robbed. No, what happened is he's negative to Bible doctrine, and God has jammed him big time, right along with his father. But even more so on his part. Because on his part, he is the one that experiences real loss. Not only in time, but in eternity, see, in regards to his life. So, it paints quite a contrast to the cavalier approach earlier when he traded his birthright for a bowl of lentil stew. When he came in and actually traded out his birthright contract, if you will, the rights of primogeniture. He had the cavalier, nonchalant, condescending almost attitude in regards to his birthright. And Esau, behold, I'm about to die, so what use then is a birthright to me? Obviously, he wasn't about to die. But as kids are, and that is, and now that I think back, that's the first reflection upon how childish this guy was in reality. He's acting like a kid. And a kid continues, been playing all day. He's hungry. Oh, when are we going to eat, Mama? It's going to be another hour. Oh, I'm going to die. Been there, done that. Mom goes, well, go in and die then. It's good when you have parents that don't put up with that kind of crap. So we have quite a contrast for someone who otherwise previously has such a cavalier approach. Well, if he doesn't care about the birthright, why does he care about the blessing? See? And this is what directs you to understanding the mindset of Esau. It's not about the spiritual realities behind the covenant blessing that he's interested in. This does not sway him one bit. It's the industry. His father's industry. It's all the money. It's all the power that goes along with being the firstborn of the family, handed down in custom. That's what he's interested in. See, the physical things, not the spiritual. To say he's interested in the spiritual is being just as blind as a bat in regards to an unbeliever such as Esau. See. So 9, Esau's emotionalism here reveals that what regrets he may have had concerning the loss of his birthright was not due to repentance, but selfish ambition. Now, maybe you can understand why God hated Esau. Not even one inkling of respect and desire in regards to the spiritual aspects of the Abrahamic covenant in terms of birthright and blessing, is he interested in. And now he acts like a complete idiot, a complete kid, pathetically, in response regards to losing the temporal blessing that otherwise would have come to him in the blessing. Obviously, it's no stretch to think him thinking his brother having power over him too. That really dug his goat, I bet. See. Especially after his brother and what he's done to him. Took advantage of his negative volition. Huh? When you're not on top of your own game spiritually, you're an easy target. So Esau's emotionalism reveals that what regrets he may have had, point nine, concerning the loss of the birthright was not due to repentance, to a change of mind, but selfish ambition. 10. Isaac here makes no attempt to rescind the blessing conferred, even though trickery was involved. And we've already hit that nail on the head in the previous verses because Isaac immediately recognizes God just jammed the hell out of him in his attempts to pass this birthright on to Esau. And this whole thing was God's hand in there halting the scenario. Halting the scenario that if it had gone through, his premonition of an early death would probably would have come about in reality. Sin unto death. See? All these things that are involved in regards to the situation at hand. And he immediately recognizes God's hands in this. The oracle was right. He had to eat his humble pie. His wife's been right all these years in regards to her love for Jacob and her allegiance to him in this respect, spiritually, etc. But he did it under some circumstances I dare say would definitely throw any one of us for a loop if we found ourselves in that situation. Being tricked by your wife or close loved ones in this regards in such fashion. And then have to recognize and just flat out admit, I'm wrong. I was wrong. See. But he does. And he shows the true nature of opposition once they get over that hump and they do choose to embrace the truth. And God knows what it takes to eat positive volition out in regards to people as well as to have them manifest their negative volition in this respect. And then come to grips with doctrine. Now he's inflammable. He will stand tall. And while Isaac, this is kind of the last part of Isaac's recording here of his life, apart from his death a little bit later on, but not much to speak of. At least he goes out with the honor of making this application and saying, yeah, there's no way in the world that the line of Messiah should come through one like Esau. Negative unbeliever. Negative Bible doctrine. And hence Romans celebrates his application, as we've seen, as a Hall of Famer in this respect. And you got to recognize, he failed pretty miserably. But the whole family is a good example of a spiritually dysfunctional family at any given point in time in their lives. See, when doctrine is set aside, and you have a conflict, a positive volition, a negative volition in a family, or the failure to apply separation, all these other things. You want to know why there's conflict in families. Because divine viewpoint doesn't rule. That's one of the duties in regards to marrying someone who's positive, who has the same aspirations as a prize winner to achieve in regards to their goal in life, to be like-minded with yourself. And when SGA flare-ups happen, and they do, don't kid yourself, even the best adjusted husbands and wife will have their moments. You've got Bible doctrine to resolve the situation that both can cling to and look to as their guideline and resolution. But if, you know, one's off in another world, that makes it kind of difficult. See, we understand that. So here, Isaac, he has... now his hearing has become acute. He recognizes the doctrine at hand, the issues at hand, all that's transpiring by the hand of God, in spite of the despicable way of which it occurred, which emulates his very life and his very attempt to undo the covenant anyway. And he stands firm and does not rescind the blessing at all. So 11, the blessing is irrevocable. And he implies such when he responds to Esau's plea, saying that his blessing had been taken away, lakach, by his brother, Ach, who did it deceitfully, Meramah. So 12, Isaac refuses to overturn the blessing, knowing that it is the will of God for Jacob to have the preeminence, the shady circumstances notwithstanding. He recognizes God utilizing and exercising his permissive will to judge evil with evil, to judge sin with sin. And yet at the same time, he is able to completely and totally, perfectly accomplish his divine will in regards to this matter. For those who think that they can upset God's plan. And it's a perfect example of God intervening, even with one who has complete intentions otherwise to do something drastically in contradiction to God's plan, Isaac. And tripping it up in a way that it had to hurt. I'd feel for the guy. Being in his shoes. Well, his humility, I guarantee you, he was able to take it and handle it with the character that you would expect from a positive individual, because he knows what humility he may have to experience in time that he wouldn't have to experience at the Bema seat or in the reward ceremony for Old Testament saints. That's not the Bema, but same thing. So you got to recognize those things that may happen to us in time that can be humiliating in and of themselves are all for a reason. And if the one's positive, it's for a good reason, because it will help you escape the humiliation that you'll face before Jesus Christ. Why didn't you get your act together? See? Well, I did. And it'll be fun to get up there and swap angelic war stories, angelic conflict war stories. Oh, yeah, I did this, did that. And I'm like, God came in and he did this, slapped me upside the head here, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And when you do that, and your bonfire dims down, and all of a sudden you see all the precious metals and gold and stones, and see that prize hanging there, like that's going to really make a difference. What you went through in time in order for you to maximize regards to your divine good production life and spiritual advance, I guarantee you, you'd be thanking God. So 13, Esau then turns to attacking the actions of his brother in further attempt to sway his father to reverse his decision. So he yells out in anger one time, come on, you! There's something you can do here. And you got to, you know, you do got to see it from Esau's perspective. His dad told him he was going to bless him. Now his dad's not going to bless him. See. Now he starts his tactics kind of, you see his tactics kind of start to change a little bit. Kind of removes his anger directed more towards his father in speech and puts it towards Jacob, spinning off his dad's term deceitfully. And this shows you the opposite characters of father and son in this case in regards to Jacob. The father is willing to forgive. In spite of what he did, he was willing to forgive and go ahead and hold up his end of support on his behalf for his polygolition. Not Esau. Esau is going to find what fault he can in regards to Jacob to try to get his way. So Esau, point 13, then turns to attacking the actions of his brother in further attempt to sway his father to reverse his decision. That's verse 36. The supplanter. Jacob the supplanter. Robbed me of my birthright. Now he's robbed me of my blessing. 14, the very name, Jacob, Yaakov, says Esau, reflects Jacob's character. 15, the irony can't be missed here in the attacking of his brother's character when Esau is so presently out of character, revealing his unbridled hypocrisy. There's no hypocrisy in the truth. And it's just a kind of a cool revelation in regards to an exposure in regards to Esau here in his attack against Jacob, claiming his character as being defunct, rightly fitting his very name. And here Esau's operating out of character. And he obviously is being highly hypocritical in regards to his whole accusation, accusing his brother of fitting with his name versus what he is in regards to his own life. Sometimes hypocrisy knows no bounds. See? So it's ironic, if nothing else. 16, Jacob, Yaakov, and the noun translated supplanted, Akov, constitutes a Hebrew pun, a play on words. 17, this verb for deceit, Akov, is used in connection with Jacob in Hosea 12:3, where there he is the, quote, heel grabber, end quote. Wrote it out here. In the womb, he took his brother by the heel, Akov. Our verb. And in his maturity, he contended with God. Now, Jacob has his problems too. But the population shows through in spite of it all. In his perseverance, his unwillingness to lay down and call it quits. So many people are doing that today. It's just like they're rolling over and calling it quits regardless of the plan of God. They've had enough. Not going to put up with it anymore. Not going to put up with any more of this pressure, this regiment of people, or whatever their STA excuses are. Well, their loss. So 18, Esau's protest culminates here in accusing Jacob of twice robbing him, first as to his birthright, our term Bakorah, and now his blessing, Barakah. So 19, that he uses the same verb, quote, to take away, our Hebrew term, lakach, end quote, for both events, both his birthright and blessing, is Esau's attempt to look an innocent victim, not deserving of such unscrupulous actions. He's trying to paint himself something that he's not. He didn't take away the birthright. Esau freely gave it up. See? He freely gave it up, willingly, without a second thought, apart from, it's worthless to me. 20, as it is, the issue of his birthright was nothing less than open disdain for the birthright itself. So, take a little kernel of truth here and throw in an admixture of another scenario that has similar or parallels associated with it, but it's a completely different picture. That's why you got to be discerning when you're evaluating, critiquing things. Try to get all the facts. See, know the ins and outs before you come to a judgment or conclusion. We don't always know what all is going on behind the scenes. We wouldn't know regarding the birthright if it wasn't recorded for us otherwise. So the birthright was nothing less to Esau than open disdain for the birthright itself. 21, even though Jacob was calculating and manipulative also on that occasion, Esau's sin of rejection of God's plan as to the covenant was the greater sin, leading to the condemnation that now follows in loss of blessing. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. Was when he gave up the birthright. It immediately said to God and everybody else that was listening, I don't care about the birthright. I have no interest in it. I'd rather have a bowl of lentil soup stewed than the birthright. And that, in its own way, accurately reflects the attitude of negative volition in regards to the plan of salvation. They would rather have fun. You pick it. You fill in the blank. it's more important to them. Their own thinking, their own computer capabilities in their mind in regards to life is more important than being intellectually honest and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, Jacob sinned. And we don't diminish that fact. But his sin was nothing compared to Esau's sin. Jacob just took advantage. It's all right. That's going to come back on his head when he meets his uncle Laban. Every kid needs an uncle just to find out what life is all about. I speak as if insane. I had many of them. And I guarantee if I wasn't fast at my feet, I'm telling them what I would have hit in life. So 22, Esau's disdain for the birthright mirrored his disdain for the plan of salvation. 23, on the occasion of the patriarchal blessing of succession, the blessing went to Jacob because he was the believing son. He's the one that believed in the coming Messiah for salvation and otherwise exercised positive volition in his life, phase 2. 24, but this reality was beyond Esau's capacity to appreciate. That's the thing when you're dealing with negative volition. People that have no interest in regards to the plan of God, you have conversations, you try to explain to them why you do what you do. And most of the time, if not all the time in some cases, it just goes over their heads. They don't have the capacity to appreciate that. They don't have the capacity to understand why one would sacrifice their Tuesdays and Thursday evenings without hesitation to not miss on Sunday mornings to be in Bible class. They don't understand NPR. They don't know. They don't understand what we consider to be at stake in regards to our very life and our existence, both in time as well as in eternity. They don't understand that. At best, for the fundies, they may have some inkling in regards to serving God and their emotionalism attached to that respect, and whatever doctrine again they may have. But to the unbelieving world, to the cosmos, what? You'd pass up a raise, a $50,000 a year raise. All you got to do is move to California or the Big Island of Hawaii, fight fires. They don't understand it. What do you mean you can't lead that local church? Surely there's somebody else out there teaching the truth. Yeah, they are, but they're not my voice. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to enlighten us to these things in Jesus' name. Amen.